Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Okay, off podcasting again. This is a morning podcast, the standard sort of deal. Now, this time was a bit of an unusual process in that I stayed up sort of late reading up things about the coronavirus and watching a bit of comedy on YouTube before I knew it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I slept in a little bit, but I sort of looked at the time and the my wristwatch says one thing, but then I looked at the computer time and the computer time was out. And so the end, if you just follow this all up, my son didn't wake up on time, was late for work, and now I've got to drive him up to Katoomba, some 80 kilometres up the mountains, and that was me just moving the microphone, which had moved forward. Got to make a mount for it at one stage, and yeah, so here I'm up here later game. I suppose the couple of interesting developments. One is the origin of the word corona means crown. Now there's a beer in Australia named Corona Beer. I don't know where it's from. I don't know whether it's an international beer, but it's a bit of a rather unfortunate name of a beer. And of course the this is sort of, there's a whole lot of markets. There's different markets which are like, if you are, it's running a punk rock band, if you were, and you've got the mosh pits. I don't know if you remember that. What used to do is the punks would jump in their mosh pit and spit up into the air and catch the spit, or just spit on you. And it's just, so that's part of being a punk. This aspect of being punk rocking. So punk rocking is out. That would be unfortunate. And then you've got your various groups which are suffering to all different turns. And of course, I think what they're saying is just the customer facing fraction of our population is they'll be out of work for a long time. And it's good in Australia in a certain sense that we are sort of about 2 weeks, possibly 3 weeks, a month behind Italy. Like USA is 2 weeks behind, we're 3 weeks behind just due to the sheer distance and I suppose the number and people involved with it. And the virus. So we can see the consequence of basically a fuckwit. That's an Australian term, I think. A fuckwit. It's essentially, I don't know whether people make connection that most of us have to live with the excesses of an idiot all the time. You know, every 365 days a year, we have to listen to Donald Trump or other shits who are just, look, I really don't understand it while I'm taking all your opportunities and screwing you. I've got such a serious belief in what I'm saying that let's do it. So what's really good is that you hear a combination, sort of like a time lapse. You see Donald Trump saying, oh, it's a seasonal flu there, and then you've got thousands of people dying in Italy, and sort of almost the nightmare scenario, say, if you're a military commander, that you decide, well, essentially, when you're on the back foot, you have to actually put people... You have to say, well, I'm going to have to lose that section of infantry. You know, I just wasn't ultimately... I don't know how it goes, because you say, ultimately, I wasn't sensible enough, I wasn't smart enough. And they basically have to to take it on the nose for my lack of realization. So if I've left them out there, and if I save them, I'll lose more people. I'm just thinking of cases where you leave. You've got a section of infantry, and you put them out somewhere, and it looks a really sexy. It's all basically stupid, and that you've written them off. But not that we do that all the time. You obviously do that time and time again. Oh my God, Father, I'll be back with you in a tick. Yeah, so I'll be with you in a tick after this. Okay, I've just dropped in for, if I found out, a little milk drink on the way home. And that's probably reasonable in that I've had to skip breakfast to get my son out. And it is very interesting because the shocking thing is that the car park is, it's usually 20% full, and this time it's 90% full. What the fuck are you doing? Okay, so this. Oh shit, what the fuck? Sorry, I shouldn't say that. There's a. It's a rather rude turning into a section. I'm just going to check that my thing is talking. Yep, it is. Okay, just looking at the stuff there. Cross it. Now, interesting aspect of it is in that I was just talking about, obviously, people use hand sanitizers. I don't know if you use it in the US and all that type of stuff. Oh, crap. Wouldn't that be awful? Feel really bad in a road accident now that the hospitals are full. Not that they're full, they're amazingly gone on to full footing. And so what's happening is that they're rushing elective surgeries to get ready. I don't know if you're doing it in your country, but that's what they're doing at the moment in Australia, because we've got a huge public health system out here. sort of like a combination of socialism plus ridiculous wealth to actually push it through. So we've got MRI machines, a whole lot of it, and so they're rushing elective surgeries through. So there's, because there ain't going to be any happening when the shit hits the fan. Okay, coming along there, and I'll just sort of go on a little side issue. It's interesting to see people use hand sanitizers, but do they use them properly? And this is the interesting thing, is that I brought a drink there, and I have the thing of, what do I do? What is the sensible thing? Now, obviously, if you've been in a clean room environment, you tend to know how to do things. And so the idea is clean your hands, obviously. If you have to handle, the great thing about Australia is it's gone a fairly cashless economy, so there's this bit of a sort of a letdown. I've got to handle cash, or I've got to press a keypad. People go, like this. Now, coming out of the thing, you've got your drink, and so you hand sanitize your hands, then your steering wheel again, and then after your steering wheel, your hands and things, hand sanitize with your hands. The hand sanitizer is still wet on your hands. You hand sanitize the top of your drink or wherever you're going to be involved. Now, and I don't know whether a lot of people know that if they're in a shop. Well, one of the great things about, I think this is another aspect of stockpiling, that you've got the goods sitting there, and they're not contaminated. One of the major things is you're saying, oh, I'm cooking a meal, well, that's good. So if you've got fruit and veggies, it's the raw fruit and veggies. Now, I suppose the interesting aspect is being trained in NBC warfare, and it's bloody, it's just the end of the road. I don't know. When you're in an NBC suit, or the old ones that I was involved in, where it's sort of like a half a rubber suit, you look good, you've got no visibility, and your survival time really is in the Australian desert, about 30 minutes before you have to be hospitalised, 10 minutes before it's uncomfortable, 20 minutes before you're ripping it off. This is pretty sad. I suppose one of the interesting things is that the leopard tanks of old used to have, I don't know whether the Abrahams or the modern tanks have a positive pressure thing, a filter, a particle filter, and a positive pressure. So this is just to keep chemicals out of your tank. So your tank is basically a NBC thing to go across. So you've got all those aspects there. Now, the great thing, absolute morale up boosting, is that basically there's only one person. There's a few people in military career I thought, oh wow, they're going to go places. They are just what Australia needs in their hour of need. And one of them is Lieutenant General John Fruin. So I just... So he's been put in charge of the Australian military response to coronavirus. Now, a schoolmate of mine, I suppose, I don't know where he remembers. Oh, he does remember me, of course, but... Yeah, so he's a schoolmate of mine, and he was in Timor, commanded our Afghan Iraqi forces. A really, really amazing guy, and a super articulate speaker. I just don't know. Where it came from, because he was just, it's hard to say, he was a middling to fair student at school, and I occasionally, usually send a one direction email to him saying, oh look, just update me on your career, and ignore me, I will melt back into the civilian population, which is sort of like a complete military term for not hiding your military background, but sort of you melt back into the situation. People aren't aware of you. And so he liked that. So he sent from his iPhone ABC News, so our national broadcaster is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know what ABC stands for in the United States. And it's pretty amazing. So the ABC thing about him taking control. Now, it is interesting when you actually look at the... I don't know whether Australian soldiers get any time for defence whatsoever. because with the recent bushfires, there'd be drum roll. I'm now sending in the army, and then the background go is like 2 pages of Air Force Army clears this, Army does that, Air Force, and we had even Navy evacuating sea-facing towns which were cut off by bushfires. The Navy came in. And did it. So I don't know if they've got any time for defence. And so, in this case, there's the odd sprinkling of factories in Australia. Like there's a face mask factory. What the fuck's going on here? I'm just going to just focus on this because I don't particularly want to create an accident here. Okay, so there's the so stupid. I've never seen anything more stupid than this. And it probably wouldn't happen in the United States, but they've sent in an infantry unit, I suppose, not a regiment, would be probably a company, 30 people, just to man the machines until they can find people employment to go into the face mask machines. And of course, you see various things that them rolling up in sort of armored bush cars. Now, of course, that's complete, almost propaganda, sort of candy, saying, "Oh, we're doing this," because in general, it's obviously better to truck them up in a bus, minibus, or just make your own way there. I don't know. But yeah, you don't have to do all that show stuff. It's really the worst of the worst when they got bean counters in. Everything would be camouflaged, and then a completely white truck would turn up, and they'd say, "Oh, well, look. Because of the, and there's the accountant explaining how it's easier to hire and you get depreciation if, like, it's an army truck, but we've bought it white because we're going to sell it, and you know the higher purchase, and you're there with the camouflage net, and there's this white truck, or there's other times where we are sort of taken off to an army camp, and trucks don't roll up, but these buses turn up, and the bus drives out, and it drives right out into a field. "Okay, everyone out!" And, you know, there's no stupid, it's absolutely stupid coming out. So it's, I don't know, it's an expensive thing playing army all the time, I think. And of course, there's just as many crazy people in there. I don't know, they're slightly, I think, that's hard to know. The inside the teaching profession, they were out and out corrupt. In your face. This is not the actual frontline teachers you're with, but corrupt, but for no apparent reason. They're corrupt, but they're not teaching good stuff. They're not getting good results. They're not employing good people. They're not doing anything. They're just on the sly. I must admit, there was a bit of... I don't know whether there was a few, one or two funny things, but however, when it was found, they were on a charge. But that was the reserves, so, you know, the people really had nothing to do. I was just trying to think, I don't think there was as much out, just sleaze, I think, is what I'd say. When I say sleaze, it's not sort of burlesque type of sexual sleaze. It's just sort of people sort of toning down their moral tolerance to let things through. I'm just really trying to think aloud here, but it's really interesting to see the or for me when I got that, it was a complete morale boost, because he is by far just a really effective person. Now, what I was going to say was, I do remember at school where there was everybody else had school shoes and he had GP boots on, like this. And then there was one time I was in the study hall. I studied all the time. I think he was playing rugby because it would be the best for him to get into Duntroon. So he was just all the way. And I think he got my tie right and threw it up, and it landed in this high, it's a fairly high hall called the study hall, and it landed up the top of this hall. And that, for me, that was a huge hall, but it must be just a very large room nowadays. He threw it up the top, it landed on one of these lamps, and I said, oh, what the heck? And he said, no worry, Hill, and he got one desk, of course, another desk, another, these small little desks, stacked three up, and then just climbed them up and got it up off himself. A sort of absolute fearless. And so it was good. And then his brother was in the army, met him, and I just think his first deployments was to Rwanda, the Australian troops in Rwanda. So just really positive, and I would send him occasionally. I'd send him just a commentary on what is it? I was teaching validity and reliability. Now, this is so stupid when I come to think of it now, because my understanding of it is absolutely, completely improved. For some reason, people wanted to do things with grouping of data. If the you get a result which is internally extremely reliable, however, and this is groupings, and back when I was you'd always get your magazine with seven rounds, two warming shots, and five on the shot, and I had a animation where you basically, as a corporal, go five, you know, on your own time, go on, by two in the butts. And nowadays, I don't think that's at all necessary. Why people would fire two? I think the two warming shots is just because essentially to just get you used to the sort of back shot and just to adjust. So for some reason, or nowadays you just fire straight in. I sent that off to him. So basically, he was in command of the Darwin Brigade, and then after that, disappeared into some sort of civvy command. And after I hadn't heard from him for a couple of years, and I just sent him another email saying, just following your brilliant career, blah 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 blah, and there's a gap, and he's sent it there. I suppose the interesting thing is sort of interpreting, you know, what on earth is the process going ahead. Now, of course, Australia has still got zillions of people going into schools, and these are large gatherings, and you basically are fighting stupidity at going at school. So essentially you've got these large groups of kids inside classrooms, which is okay, but also not only are they inside classrooms, they're in some rugby schools, there's the basic sort of having large assemblies in Scott's College. I had a large sort of assemblies where they're all there, and there is this sort of macho risk-taking stuff, and I don't know whether that's gone, but essentially there's the idea of risk-taking in order to display your manliness. So there's a certain aspect of this school having a big assembly with all these people there, doing it, and you're going, oh, for fuck's sake, sack a lot of them. Now, the other sort of joyous thing is to see some real positive aspects in the community. So what I'm doing, so looking after, in general, look after old people because they can't run away, and they are grateful that you're there, and they sort of know when you say, oh, look, I've just been totally abandoned, they go, welcome to the bloody club. They sort of, and the fact that they sort of get into your zone of abandoned but sort of cast away in the middle of a society. Like, that's, you know, I've got myself, I've got Wilson, I've got all my mates, and stuff like that. So I run these really chariots of fire thing is this mobility scooter. So I've got this old, is 90 old? 90 is the new 19, I suppose. I was only 90. So he's beautiful there, and the understanding of putting a camera on the trolley and letting it rip, absolutely letting it rip going forward, and sort of making a movie YouTuber. So I've got Trish on the in the coronavirus, not the coronavirus, she's the first groupie person. So this person's gone up and has given a talk, and it's really great, and she likes it. Unfortunately, her relatives have said, you're under lockdown, don't see anyone, we're going to make sure that you get through this. And also my friend Tim, and poor Tim, basically he's a champion there. He's the day before Christmas, he said, I've got to go off to hospital, and then sort of I phoned up the relatives, I didn't say get stuffed, but I was clearly the wrong person. Oh my God, I'm trying to get the Christmas running, and I get a phone call from blah. You wouldn't, of course, he spent, the poor bastard spent Christmas Day in hospital getting a blood transfusion. So we see how all that goes. So the poor little bastard comes along. So he's absolutely flourishes there. So, but it's amazing that if you, I definitely have saying, like society's definitely given up on me, and yep, by reverse, I've given up on society. What can you do? You can't sort of just fall on a heap and sob because you're being ignored and abandoned. And part of that is that you're not being heard. You've just got to really pick yourself off, dust yourself off, and get going. So the sort of end result is that okay, well, I won't do this, but that's allow me to do this little piece. So eventually I've got these mobility scooters with cameras mounted on them, recording, and take these guys, basically support them. Where do you want to go? What sort of tour do you want to do? And let's sort of let them organise themselves, which is very much the almost the stuff that I did at school, running science class, a science club. Science club, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? Let's do it. And basically as a support facilitator, you know, what experiment do you want to run? Okay, we're going to do that one. So that's going, it's pretty amazing to see this evolve to get going. Now what I also do is have something on a very good timetable, partly because it's what everyone else normally does. So I visit Tim on Chris from the Institute on Monday, Dennis on Wednesday, and Tim on a Friday. And they just know that I'm there, and that if they don't feel like it, I'm not there. And if they want to do more or do less, I'm there. But the actual thing is that I'm part of, you know, the simplest thing is to get yourself into the routine. So these poor people have been abandoned. And what was it, Chris? Trisha's phoned me up. I've been quarantined, so what I'll do is I'll set her up with Skype to try and get these old guys. Well, I can't get Tim's not on Skype, but I'll have to start teaching them how to Skype each other and go across. Now, what's really nice is to see these people just with the substrate of something organized, something, you know, just stitched them into the fabric. So they're now internet superheroes on their, not their own YouTube channel, but their way to go. I don't know whether I can create Tim. And what I should do is a Tim YouTube channel. Now that would do it, wouldn't it? A Tim YouTube channel. Now the other beautiful thing is that the In terms of just practicing a practice social event, there was this absolutely horrid, stupid movie called Name of the Rose, which I then so I wanted to see. My wife said, no, I just wanted to see it with my girlfriends, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I still want to see it. So what I did is I just thought, well, what I'll do is oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, Christ. There's this truck going far too fast for its own good. Coming around the corner there. I wanted to actually see that. And I basically thought, oh, well, I really don't know how well it goes. I'll invite every person I know. And given that the excuse posts, I might get one. So I eventually got three groups, Dennis's friend, Pino, and another person called Susan. And essentially got them together. And when I realised that it was a bit like a doing biology at a zoo, where you go around to different parts and you get your lion, your gazelle, your pygmy hippopotamus, and you put them all together and you say, we're going to do an African wildlife theme, sort of survival of the fittest theme, and let's see what happens. Oh no, we're here for an education purpose and see what, just a little madness there. But Pino brought his wine and everyone thought this was fantastic, and just a little shred of encouragement. And of course I have to go and pick my, so we've got a little bit of bush out the back of our place, and in the middle of the bush and the backing onto a train track is for fuck's sake, okay, 8:43, poor bar since my kids are left and gone to school by now. I'm just going to get in so much trouble. So I have to go out at night because it's 9:30 in the night, dark and bush, just check, because you feel awful, you know, you get your daughter to walk home through this darkness, and people, the police would say, what the fuck do you think you're doing? You absolutely, probably wouldn't say that, obviously, and it's all fairly safe, but pick her up, and on the way there, in the sort of, it's not quite shed, it's sort of more architectural than a shed. In the shed, light's going on, and in the middle of it is this huge, as I've never seen before, wine production. And there's this complete fermentation, the actual process there, and he's got, you know, food grade drums, you know, big drums, huge quantity of wine being produced. And this is just from, this is great. And I've said, oh, look, I want to work on the label for it. There's general support. So I might be getting no support and encouragement whatsoever. But I can sort of see that me giving support has got, this person has got these scooter people out on their scooters just producing YouTube videos, which is bloody hell. And this person producing alcohol. Now, of course, this is, of course, but wine, I suppose. Poor, neglecting it. They're all, I don't know. It's hard to say. In terms of when you're in, in terms of, oh, he's working late at night, oh, he's got no time for his family, and blah, blah, blah. But isn't he a marvellous man, quote unquote, man? Whereas these people are similarly motivated, but not bringing in money. You selfish bastard, blah, blah, blah. To go in. I just feel that. But you've got to focus on something to move forward. So that's and so it's Pino's vino to go forward on it. So that's nice to see. So we'll see how this goes on, and I've got to go metaphorically into the eye of the storm. So I think New South Wales, so a population of 5 million, we've had 30,000 tests, picked up 170 cases, and they're, it's growing. I'll go back and check the world and meter to see where it's going. But in the Blue Mountains, we've had 3 cases up in this section. This is the whole section of the Blue Mountains. Not the Blue Mountains, but, this goes a few hundred kilometres either direction. But I'm going into epicentre land, which is, I think, in this area of Sydney. I think they'll have to be up around 40 in that airport section. And there's airport, and then there's the rich Chinese residences and stuff. But interestingly, there's been no cases of coronavirus. There's been, out of 170, so in the Australia's got 450. Well, by official stuff, which is going to report to the UN, it's 360, 450 by the worldometer, by external counting. Virtually none of that has to come from China. Most of our coronavirus stuff has come from the bloody United States. So if you come and think that the United States is, it must be totally going off in the United States. If we are getting all people back from the United States and they're testing positive, what the heck is going on there? It must be a serial nightmare. But I have to go into the storm and actually push it there. So we'll see how it. We'll see how it goes. So I'll have to go. Now that just reminds me, I've got a thing to do over here. I have ordered a. I'm going to stress myself. This is why people are going bloody slow here. It's the school zone. I've got to pick up my dozen roses for my wife when she's coming back. So I've got to go into the local shopping centre and get that out. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.